You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hypothetical.
Stephanie Megan, you're listening to Broke Girl Therapy. Because therapy is too expensive. You're listening to Broke Girl Therapy. Broke Girl Therapy.
Take a sip of water.
Jesus Christ.
I was like,
get into place.
Whoa, what the fuck?
Am I centered? Am I centered in that thing? I don't even.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't see that far. I need glasses.
Avi.
All right, let's do this. Part two.
Part dos.
Hi, guys. It's me, Stephanie Megan, your host of Broke Girl Therapy. Guess the fuck what? Rose is back.
I'm back again. Woo, 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 woo. I'm here.
I love doing this stuff with you.
I love it, too.
Like, that's literally how we met. Is like the first day we met was you on my show.
Oh my God,
the
it was.
The thirst trap.
Literally, Jaffra was like, oh, I have someone you should totally do the podcast with. It's this girl that I went to high school with. And I remember she was like, yo, I met this dope ass chick in LA. Never thought I would meet cool people in LA.
Oh, meet she her. Said that?
I know, yeah.
That is
because,
so
like,
sweet.
It's kind of true sometimes. Like, when you, but you're an LA native. LA yeah. natives just get it.
Right. Because this is just where we're born. We're not trying to, like, be anything. We're just...
We're not phased by anything.
No, we're not phased. Like, I'm not phased by celebrities.
Yeah, you're kind of
besides
like,
Beyonce, but let's be real.
She's not a celebrity. She's a saint. It's completely different. You know what I mean? Like, I was watching Black is King, and I was like, oh, my God, you're
so
holy.
So good. Yes.
It was like, it's just so strange to look at her and be like, you are a normal person, but because you have this platform, I'm never going to see you as normal.
No, never. But everyone else, like all the others, I don't give a shit. Yeah, but people who come to LA are always like, oh my God.
Yeah. I did see John Hamm in person once, and I was just like, wow, you're really stunning. Like, he's just really handsome.
Right, right.
In real life. Oh, and there was also Lupita.
Oh, beautiful. I've never seen her, but beautiful.
She's never not smiling. It's like one of those things where I was like, yeah, if I had your teeth, I would fucking smile all the time.
She's just gorgeous.
And I was just like, you know, watching her interact with the waiters, because that's like another thing I judge people on how they treat, like, because yeah. I grew up in a restaurant, and it's like, when I went on dates, like, I would judge men on how, like, they tipped and how
oh, for sure. When you go on, yeah.
That's a big one.
I've been on dates where they didn't tip. And like, and I'm not gonna say who because he's on the show, but like, our first date,
he's been on the show. You know, everyone's gonna go back like some CSI shit and are like, who didn't tip? Who sounds like they were cheap? They didn't tip?
Yeah, like the bartender was like, so you're just not gonna get, came up to him, was like, you're just not gonna like give me a tip. And he was like, what do you mean?
I even tip when it's shitty service.
Right.
Like, I just, it's in my body. It's in my right. DNA. My dad taught me that way. I was a waitress for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
But, like, I do it, like, begrudgingly. Like, I'm giving you only 16%, you know? And it's like, I'm like gritting my teeth. I sometimes over tip because I just, like, that's the type of person I am.
Right,
but
right.
But the way Lupita was teaching, like, treating that, like, she was just so kind. She was like, oh. Like, how's your, like, I just, if I was that waitress,
so
I would
nice.
Be like, I know. I would have, like, died inside. I'm
like,
Lupita. She loves me. We're dating now. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I would be, like, convinced right. of. But she was, like, the sweetest person.
It's always good to know when, like certain celebrities are nice.
Yeah. It's always really funny, though, because I feel like
we're always off topic.
Yeah, I know. We're so off topic. But I feel like I have, like, family members that you know, are always like, yeah, people in LA ruin celebrities for me. Cause you'll be like, I really like the celebrity. And they're like, oh my God. And you're like,
I'm not that bitch.
Yeah. They're like, I saw her at Whole Foods and she like threw a tomato or like whatever the weird story is. Yeah. We LA people can, I feel like New Yorkers can ruin celebrities too. Cause New York is also like an area where like
celebrities are also there as well.
Yes. And people don't really, I love how we're talking about them like they're exotic birds. Like celebrities are also found in their natural habitat of, you know, New York City, you know, as they're buying food. They ride on the subway like we do.
Celebrities, they're just like us.
Yeah, right. Yeah, except you're not stressed about healthcare. Anyways, yeah. The point of the story
America. Being America.
But like, like how people really do freak out about like, oh man, you ruined that celebrity for me. So now I've like decided that I only share like the good stories. Like when someone brings up a celebrity, I'm kind of like, oh yeah, that person's cool, you know. But if it's like someone I am like, oh my God, no, that's the greatest person ever.
Right.
It's a big one.
Anyways.
Sorry. Okay, what? Welcome.
Wait, so is this not? We're here to talk about long distance relationships. Because we are on the both end. You are in a very successful long distance relationship. And we know mine just fucking failed. So I think you could
really.
It didn't
fail, it ended.
Oh, I am so deep.
Am I Oprah? Just kidding. I'm not. I'm not Oprah. Another nice person. Another nice person. Yeah. I've heard. Sorry. No, I. Yeah. No. It just. Yeah. It. You know. He insecurities.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. Right. It didn't fail. It just. It didn't work out.
Yeah. It just didn't work out.
It did. Like
he failed, but you didn't fail. The relationship.
We won't go there.
Sorry. Again, I can't stop with these. It's my Scorpio. Anyways, continuing on.
Yeah. So, tell me about your long distance.
Oh my God. This episode is like, people are going to be like, what do you mean they're not smoking? They're not high right now?
I know, completely sober. Yeah. No, but for real, like, I think it's so common now, especially during this pandemic. I feel like there's more long distance.
Way more.
Yeah.
I actually was working on an article for one of the publications I've been working on about that and about how my relationship, you know, we're going on, oh, snap. It's like a year and a half. We're almost 2 years soon.
Shit.
I know. Time. What is it? It's weird. But yeah, we've been going together for a year and a half, and the whole relationship has been long distance.
Like, are you okay with this? Like, is this something, like, you feel like this works for you? Because there's people who, like, need to be next to their person all the time. Yes,
because my last relationship, which was very toxic and extremely bad and emotionally abusive, that was, oh God, that was nearly almost 7 years ago, 7 or 6 years ago. I can't quite remember because I don't think about it as much anymore. But that one, my friends will tell you, like, I get really codependent and I, like, bury myself into people. And that's why I was so scared of dating for so long.
You're like Jada.
Yeah, kind of. Wait, you mean like Will Smith and Jada?
No, yeah. Because remember she was like, have you seen that Red Table Talk where she's like, she has like her codependency?
Yes, yes. Yeah. But I've never cheated on anyone.
No, besides the cheating. Besides the entanglement.
The entanglement. But yeah, I guess just, like, codependency. But codependency is such an interesting thing.
What is codependency?
Don't worry, I have a speech impediment and it's totally fine. I can't say the word archaeologist without doing that.
Really?
I have to say it that way all the time. Interesting. Or like potent.
Potent. I'm just congested. See, potent.
No, it's just potent.
Potent.
And I say potent.
That's bad. What? Potent.
Sorry. Oh my God, I'm making it worse. I can't teach you my dyslexic speech impediment because then you're going to pick it up. I'm so sorry. I'm going to stop.
It's okay.
I'm not going to tell you the other words that I can't say.
Okay.
Like for sheeshes. I can't say that. Okay, anyways.
Yeah.
But yes, in a weird way, codependency is just basically you and this person kind of meld together so much that you don't know where you end and they begin, right? And that's like a tweet kind of idea of it and everything. It's deeper than that. It's attached to a lot of commitment issues and trauma and issues like that. But codependency can also exist in friendships as well. You know what I mean? Not just like boyfriend and girlfriends. Sometimes even in family relationships. You know what I mean? Mm. So it's just like not being able to like live or exist without that person. And unfortunately, I would get really just so nervous and scared about relationships failing. Like, I was just, I'm still very insecure, but I was far more insecure when I was like 23 in this relationship, dating a man who was 11 years older than me too, who was cheating on me for literally the last like year of us dating. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like constantly taking him back and like lying to myself and being like, it's not that bad. But, you know, yes, I haven't heard from him in like 2 days, but like that doesn't mean he's at someone's house, like shit like that. Right. And so I didn't, you know, I had my amazing fun hoe phase for 5 years and I enjoyed it and I had fun. And then towards the end of it, I just like, you know, something happened to me and I just needed to work on myself and everything. And then I like met Anthony and, you know, we both, he had been in a long distance relationship for before and it just didn't go well for him. And so he wasn't really a fan of it. But then we both kind of like just were like, you know what? We really like each other. We were fighting it so much. Like, I was like, no.
I remember that phase when you were fighting the fact that you loved him. I was just like, you really like this man. You're like, no.
And we were both doing it. We were both guilty of it.
Morgan, I remember you had called me out. I was like, y'all are just have your issues with feelings.
I do.
Because both of us were like, we don't have feelings.
And it's because we have the most feelings. You know what I mean?
Right, 100%. I have abandonment issues.
Oh, yeah. I have commitment issues because I'm extremely loyal. Like, I am a very loyal human being in all my relationships, friends, family, and with my partner, with Anthony. And I have commitment issues in the sense that I'm so scared that person's going to hurt me somehow. You know what I mean? Because I've been cheated on before. And I've never cheated on anyone. And that was actually something that, like, me and him talked about where he was like, I haven't met a girl who's never cheated on a guy. And that was, like, a thing that
I've never cheated.
See, and that, I've been telling him that, like, they do exist. It's just right. that we talk so much. In our society, we're so open about side chicks and, like, all these things and, like...
Oh, yeah, it's, like, such an open... It's, like, such a we're toxic...
Yeah, we embrace it because I think we have convinced ourselves that, like, monogamy doesn't exist and all this other stuff. But, like, you know, I was like,
and especially no. dating in LA and having all these apps, it really fucks you up. And everyone, at the same time, kind of has their own set of commitment issues or abandonment issues.
That we're like, we're not trying to commit. We're trying to focus on my career.
Yeah. You know? Which I learned.
But really, it's just because they're fucking scared.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And which I learned, like, that was a thing that we both realized that we kind of tried to use to not be in a relationship was like, oh, we need to focus on our careers. Mm. But like, we both are in love in a relationship and focus on our careers. Like, right. It's
you
working
could,
out.
You could do that together.
You could, like, do it together.
It's not one or the other.
Also, I don't really know what he does and he doesn't really know what I do. So it like works out. I know that he's extremely good at his job. He's very valuable employee. He's super dope. He's very smart. He does something with computers.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know.
Yeah, and then I know either.
Right? And then I try to explain to him, like, what a writer's room is and, like, what a showrunner is. And then as I'm explaining to him, I'm like, none of these phrases actually make sense. Like, writing for TV and film is just, like, none of it actually makes sense.
Right.
Like, people give you money to just do that. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know why, but don't question it. So, like, you know, there was all these elements going back to, like, the original part of it is that, like, when we met, there was all these elements and feelings that we were trying to fight. And it was this weird thing that, like, as we were trying to figure out if we wanted to be in a long distance relationship, we realized that, like, we had been together for like 6 months at that point, and we were like,
might as well fucking do it.
Yeah. And, you know, he is from LA but lives in Seattle. I'm from Seattle and I live in LA.
The fact that
girl,
like, it's crazy. It's so wild. It makes sense. I feel like it's kind of the perfect scenario.
Yeah. And it's been one of those things where it's like, you know, my family, I visit them all the time. Like, even before me and him started dating.
Yeah,
like,
you always go to Seattle.
I always go to Seattle. Yeah. I love my family. I'm very close to my family and I love my mom. And my mom, you know, sometimes needs help.
Shout
just
out to
life.
Your mom. She's
Shout
so
out to
sweet.
K-Dot. She's the best.
I love her FaceTime. She's like, you know, you guys just have really great chemistry.
She's like, I really love you, Stephanie. I think you're so kind and sweet.
I
and
know.
Keep following your dreams.
So sweet.
My mom, literally, there are people that are like, can I talk to your mom? Like, she
your
just.
Your mom reminds me of my roommate's mom. Yeah, they're very moms. Similar. Very great similar. Moms. Such great. Oh,
it's just
amazing
great.
Moms.
It just
yeah.
reminds you that, like, that's why I think I'm scared to be a mom. I'm like, this is what I have to live up to.
I'm so excited to be a mom because
you're
going to
be a
my
great
standards.
Mom. I think you're going to be an amazing mom.
I think so too. I think I'm just meant to be a mother.
Oh,
I really truly am meant to, like, be someone's mom.
Oh,
Like, so I can't wait to be someone's mom.
I can't wait to be the auntie to that child. Like, I don't know if I, like, want to be a mom quite yet.
Does he want kids?
That's the thing. Neither of us know. Like, that's, like, a really beautiful thing.
Okay.
That we've both thought about where we're kind of, like, kids. And it's so weird because we've both had these fantasies of having children, but we never imagined the partner. We just always imagine like raising kids solo.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Not solo. I always imagined someone there, but I still have to manifest who that man is. But
oh
yeah.
Him and I both admitted that we were both thinking of like just by ourselves, like being single parents. Shit. And then we like met each other and we started talking and like, we're just like, yeah, like what does that mean? But like my mom was 37 when she had me and I'm 30. So I'm like, I got 7 years to figure it out. You know what I mean?
Wow. Okay.
Also, I would love the idea of adopting. Like, I've always thought
about
adopting.
You would be such a good adopted mother.
Oh, thanks.
You would be so good.
Just because I would, like, and I mean, like, you know, in the system, it's so sad because, like, a lot of kids don't get adopted over the age of, like, 7. And I would be like, I would fucking love to kick it with, like, a 7-year-old. And, you know, and also, like, my friend Lauren, I just was hanging out with her family. And, like, her cousin was, like, playing Pokemon and he's like I think 7 or 8 and like me and him were just like in the backyard playing Pokemon as like the adults were having dinner and they were like, do you guys not want to interact with us? And we're like, no, we're getting Charmanders out there. Like, so like I just like I'm just the taller version of a child,
right.
But I also feel like I am a single mother raising a single child and her name is Rose, you know.
Yeah,
like I have to constantly
deep.
I know,
that's fucking deep, Rose.
Thank you. Am I Oprah again?
You're just
but like I
but everyone has their inner child that they're trying to nurture and heal and, you know, raise
all through the trauma and shit like that.
Okay, so let me share a tale as old as time, and I'm sure you guys would relate. I'm pretty sure. So I had a friend who recently ended up on a date with a guy who showed her pictures of his ex during dinner. Yeah, you heard it right. Pictures of him and his ex. And then I had another friend who matched with a guy and spent an evening chatting about dogs and travels only to get his dick pic out of the blue. We've all been there, right? Swiping through a sea of potential matches only to find ourselves in a shipwreck of weirdos and dating disasters. It may sound funny, but let's talk real talk. The constant letdowns, bizarre encounters, and endless ghosting can seriously mess with your head. Mental health is no joke when it comes to dating. And that's where Floor comes to change the narrative. The best thing about the Floor app is it's not just another dating app. It's a sanctuary for sanity in a crazy world of dating. Imagine a place where you can be yourself and connections are made without the drama. You can now say goodbye to the mind games and hello to the meaningful conversations. At Floor, they're all about empowering you to take control. A woman chooses who to talk to and how. There's a safe mode in all chats that doesn't allow dirty talk or explicit pics, and only a woman can turn it off, only when she's ready. The worst part about dating is how redundant conversations could feel, and I feel your pain on that. But what I love about this app is that there's several games in the app to help break the ice, that way it can help you navigate the conversation and it doesn't feel redundant. So if you're tired of the dating app circus affecting your mental health, I strongly advise you to try the Floor app. It's a journey of self-discovery, laughter, and meeting fantastic people who won't make you question your life choices. Download the Floor app right now, F-L-U-R-E, and spend a night chatting. And I hope you have a great time and find your perfect match.
Yeah. Okay, so long distance relationships.
The long distance relationships. But yeah, so we started out, and I feel like within that, like, 6 months, we were very, we just had to be vulnerable because you don't have the luxury of being in proximity with that person. Mm-hmm. And so we had to, like, deal with all our shit immediately. Like, I am sometimes a very jealous person. And so I would literally be like, who is this girl liking your Instagram photo? Because I thought I had nothing to lose. Like, if I was dating this person and, like, we lived in the same city, I probably would, like, hide those feelings. But because we had the distance, I had to face my insecurities head on, which was scary. Don't get me wrong. That 6 months was really, really hard because we had to get past through so much stuff.
Because you're just like, are you loyal? Like, you're trying to get to see, like, if they're really down for you or not, if they have their options open. It's
and this weird feeling that you have your friends in your head being like, long distance? Like, is that really going to work? And you're just like, I don't know. Is it? And then you realize, like, no, they're not in my relationship. Mm. You know, this is between. And that was the other thing that we were doing. Because our society, like, is so open about, you know, cheating, monogamy's fake, and yada, 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 that we would, like, read memes and, like, we would be like, oh, my God, are they talking about us? Like, is this what he's doing right now, or is she doing? And it's just, like, you would get in your head, and you're like, but that's not my relationship. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and a thing that we should always remember, not even in a long-distance relationship, you've never dated this person before. And this person has never dated you before. So you can't compare it to your old relationships, but you can hold on to those feelings those old relationships made you feel.
Right.
And if they get brought up again, you have to be like, why is that? This is a whole new person. This person doesn't even remind. Like, and that's the other thing about Anthony. He is not my normal type. Like, he is so not someone I would necessarily go for, but, like, I love that about him. Like, because we're so different. Like, we really are, our point of views are very different. There's a lot of similarities we have. Like, our sense of humors are very, like, on par. But, like, we kind of differ on so many things, and we have, like, deep philosophical conversations. You know, politically, we don't always line up, you know, everything, like, what we like, what we don't like. So that's, like, kind of cool to have.
Yeah, like, you guys could challenge each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, before the COVID, we were just seeing each other, like, once a month. You know, he would come up a month, I would come up, and we'd switch off and on. Because of COVID, though, I was staying in Seattle. Like, I was in Seattle. I flew down in March to celebrate our year anniversary. The quarantine happened, so then I was stuck there for 2 months. So I was there from March, April, and, like, till the beginning of May.
And did you guys see each other a lot at that time?
We did at the very beginning, and then it got to this, like, weird moment where we were, like, he was, like, this is a lot. Like, we're spending a lot of time together. And I was, like, yeah, we are.
Yeah.
And it was really strange for both of us. So then we just did it for weekends. Because he was also, he's still working.
Yeah.
You know, like.
That's crazy, because I'm someone who would want to be with someone all the time.
I thought I was.
Hashtag clingy. That's clingy. Me.
It's like a spokesperson for clingy. Yeah. Do you really never want to let go of your lover? Cling on.
Yeah. I mean, that's with my abandonment issues, though. I'm like, don't leave me. don't go to the grocery store.
You're not without me.
Let's go together.
No. I just want to sit in the car. It's okay.
No, I mean, I'm not that bad. I definitely, because I obviously, like, I have so much going on in my life, and I like being with my friends. So they're, I like a little bit of distance, but, like, long distance, that's why it was so tough for long distance. I wanted to be with him all the time.
Well, because relationships, there, you have to have the physical side of relationship. Right. Like, you have to, you know what I mean?
I just want to fuck all the time.
Oh, girl, come on. I have, like, I literally have the highest sex drive of most people.
You're
I know.
Scorpio.
I'm a Scorpio. I love sex. I enjoy sex. We have a very healthy sex life, though. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, like, when we're together, it's like,
maybe I'm just, like, so horny and I haven't gotten in a year and a half. So I just want to have sex every single day.
A year and a half? The whole time me and him have been together, you've been.
Wow. Last dude I had sex with was Bobby.
Holy shit. Okay, I don't know if I could go a year and a half. I mean, I've gone, like.
So now I'm like, we better be fucking every single day. I don't give a fuck. I feel
like I'm making up a
lost time. I'm not doing a long distance. I know, yeah.
But no, I also feel like we, like, you know, I've gone, like, two months is the longest that Anthony and I have not seen each other. And, like, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, masturbation and everything that's involved. But, like, it still works. But I thought that was going to be, I honestly thought that was going to be the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't. The hardest part was being vulnerable for me, because I mask a lot of my issues in relationships with sex. Like, I realize that, like, if I'm mad at someone, I want to have sex. I'm Samantha. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm hungry, I want to have sex. If I'm angry, I want to have sex. If I'm sad, I want to have sex. Like, if I'm happy, I want to have sex. And I would use sex as, like, a tool to ignore or not talk about the things that we need to talk about. And in a long-distance relationship, communication is key in all relationships, but it is a major key in long distance.
Oh, that's because that's all you have.
That's all you have. So, like, we, and, you know, I... Anthony, I love you. You know that. but he is the world's worst texter. So that was like a thing I had to like let go. But when he responds, he responds. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he is the world's worst texter. And that was like something that was difficult at the beginning
do
of the relationship.
Do you guys do like phone sex?
Yeah. I don't know if he wants me to. Well, okay, whatever. Sorry, it's not like his parents listen. Okay. It's really fine. I mean, like, but yes, we do. I'm not embarrassed by it.
Yeah. I thought it was always kind of fun. Like I would send sexy videos to Morgan. Like,
oh, see?
Of like me masturbating.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I've never done that.
I would like masturbate to his music.
Oh, that's hot. Oh, that's hot. Oh, wait. Whoa. I'm a fan of that. Yeah. I've never done that with Anthony.
Yeah. And I'll be like in lingerie.
Oh, that's cute. That's really cute.
See, I'm such a fucking dope ass girlfriend.
You are a dope ass girlfriend. That's not the question. The question is like, you know.
Yeah.
Not with him. I will keep my thoughts to myself.
We will.
If there's a thought bubble in my head, there would be like a lot of like, anyways.
Yeah.
moving on, long distance relationship. But yeah, no, we have phone sex and things like that. But like for the most part, like it's, yeah, but we also met each other when we were both trying to figure out like what sex was going to look like in general, you know, in our own lives, like, you know, just trying to figure that out and understanding that there's other forms of intimacy that isn't just physical because you have to be vulnerable with someone, you have to open up with someone. And so we talk about that. And I feel like in long distance relationship, your speed is like maybe like 2.5 times faster than normal relationships because you have to learn a lot about a person very quickly in a short amount
right.
of time.
No, I agree. I agree. Cause he moved away like 4 or 5 months in.
Yes. So then you're like, what do you do but talk? And then your conversations get, you know, very deep. And because I'm extremely emotional and he is very level headed, but because I'm extremely emotional, sometimes our conversations would get so heated because they would get so deep so quickly. And instead of being like, I'm not ready to talk about that, I would like try to like get upset and everything. And one of the many things I love about him is how level-headed he is. Like he is very left-brained. He is very like, things can be black and white.
That's why
things
it works. Because it's, you know, it's like you guys level each other out.
Yeah, we really do. And, you know, there's a lot of times where I always like, I grew up, because of the household that I grew up in and because of my dad's gross family, I thought arguing was love. Like, I thought you argued with the people you love because the makeup afterwards was so beautiful. You know what I mean?
So that's interesting.
So I grew up in a house where yelling was acceptable. You know what I mean? And that was, like, okay to do. I realized that that was a fault in all my relationships because I thought that's how you grew was an argument. And, like, Anthony isn't an angry person. It takes a lot. I still have yet to actually see him angry.
Right.
Like I have not seen him.
I'm pretty similar
off.
To you too. Cause I grew up in a very like angry, violent household.
Mm-hmm.
So I like, I'm a very calm person. We all know this, but when I am in a relationship and I argue,
you get tight. You get loud.
Yeah. I get really loud. I like raise my voice and I get really like, I get in.
Yeah, you bury in. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
It's, but you know.
And then I start crying.
Oh, I'm a crier.
I'm such a crier. We all know this.
I am such a crier. But I cry when I'm frustrated because my body doesn't know, because I don't know how to deal. And I feel like it's true with a lot of women. We're not taught how to deal with anger. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like we get it dismissed. Like when a little boy throws a truck across the room, they're kind of like, oh, come on, Sam. Why'd you do that? Don't do that again. You know, or just like boys will be boys. But then like when a girl throws a truck across the room, the people are like, Sally, why'd you do that? Don't do that. And then it's like, you know, you shame women for being mad or angry. Boys will be boys. They'll be angry. So like for me, I immediately have to cry. Because I'm so, I don't know how to process it.
I'm the same way. Oh my it's God, weird. We're the same.
we didn't touch, don't worry. Yeah. But yeah, so it's like this, I would try to do what I usually do in past relationships and argue. And he wouldn't argue back. And then I would get more upset. And he wouldn't argue back. And he would just be like, why are you, what are you doing? Like, he literally would just be like, wait, what?
Right.
Like, what's happening? And I would be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, and then being able to process that. But he's so loving that way and so level-headed.
Yeah. And I think definitely, like, in a long-distance relationship, when all you have is just that verbal communication.
Yeah.
It's like you really see yourself more on how you argue. Because like when you're together, you could just cuddle and everything's fine.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And like, but when you're, yeah. No, I totally get that. Like, I feel like shit just gets even more heightened and you really see a person more.
Yes. And you see him at the ugliest too, yeah, at times, you know, mm-hmm, even in
and
his,
your trust is being tested. Everything gets tested.
Your insecurities are, yes, being tested. You're, it's, you know, all of them. But then I realized that that was something I needed to do very, like, he's, you know, extremely private and, you know, sometimes doesn't want to talk about his feelings because he's like, why? It's not like, you know what I mean? Like, he's like, it's just not needed. Where I'm like, I need to process every feeling and I need to talk about it right away.
Right.
But he's like taught me that
dude,
it's,
we're
like,
so much the same.
I know. That's why we deserve, we get each it, other. Yeah.
That's why at one point we're like, we don't have feelings.
I don't have, I have,
we'll
all
just,
of them,
whatever. But we're,
but it was also because we were like jaded and like, yeah, we're like, oh, fuck the world. You know what I mean? Let's fuck it as well. You know?
Right.
God, how many F bombs in a day can I do? But yeah, so you're like trying to scope that, and then when you realize that you're like, no, it's, I just don't know how to process these feelings in a healthy way, and that's why I feel like people say like, oh, I don't have feelings, you know, like if
which
you were
is
to,
such a toxic way to yeah,
to be and to think, yeah, you know, right, like I'm still the same girl from the thirst trap episode. The only difference though is I've been taught and seen what real love looks like. You know what I mean?
It's crazy because I 100% agree with you, because when I think about like my old episodes and to who I am now, it's like so much more, like I've always been this person.
Yeah.
But it's just now it's just been more released because I'm being more comfortable. We're being more comfortable within ourselves. Like,
yeah.
I remember I started, me and Morgan started dating and we just had like the best, deepest conversations. And I really opened up about so much, you know, so much things, whatever. And I remember when he told me, he was like, you need to show this side of you on your show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he was like, I was like, this is such a dope side of you. Like this needs to be shown on your show. Lo and behold, it gets shown. So
it doesn't, you know, and it does. And I understand like why you haven't. Like, I feel like we talked about this the last time we talked, which was like, you don't need to give everything for the right audience. You know what I mean? Like you have to do keep some self for like self-preservance.
Yeah.
But that's, this is the place to do it, if anything. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm, your audience, like, loves you and cares about you no matter what and is going on this journey with you. But sometimes that takes a while. Like, it's, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right,
it's why we can give such great advice to other people but can never take our own advice sometimes.
That's me.
And that's me, too. Because, you know, like, I understand why I was so angry and, like, low-key, like, was disrespecting men and didn't like them, you know, is because I just felt so disrespected and angry from them.
Yeah.
And it was because I was going after the wrong individuals.
And it was, like, a defense mechanism.
Oh, 10,000%,
like,
you know?
Like, it was just us trying to be like, we don't give a fuck about you.
Yeah.
Because you don't give a fuck about us because we've been disrespected. We've been, you know, we've been hurt because yeah, we're emotional. We're sensitive.
Yeah. And I honestly didn't give a fuck about a lot of those guys. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, there was a...
Like, well, like, I really didn't give
like,
a fuck.
I'm thinking, and I was like, yeah, no, I don't really care about you at all. Because that's the other thing is I with the insecurities that you learn about in a relationship in general, you realize, like, I know why this person has those insecurities. You know what I
yeah,
mean? Like, I understand why, you know, he doesn't have a lot because he's very, like, Anthony's very secure in who he is, which was just, like, I think also really intimidating for me because, you know.
I get intimidated by that, too, when guys are very secure with themselves. I'm like.
Yes, because it's like, you know, like, also, like, you know, he has a great body and I'm all like, oh, my body. You know what I mean? In a weird way, you just get, like, all, like, weird
about
it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, I just.
But, you know.
That's how I was with Bobby, because the last dude I had sex with, but I was always like. See,
but then they don't care. They love your body no matter what.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I point to things and he's like, what are you pointing at?
Like my stretch mark.
And he's like, it's fine. You know what I mean?
They don't care. If they love you, they don't care.
They don't, honestly. They really don't care. They just want you to be happy. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
But like, you know, you understand those insecurities that they have. Like, I got like where he was like, nah, like all women cheat. And I was like, no, you just know of all the women that have cheated. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
You can't comprehend that there are women like me and you that have never cheated. Because you've been surrounded by so many women. So, like, anytime he'd be like, this is what I've seen women cheat. Like, are you going to cheat on me? And I realized that I would reassure him at
it's
the beginning.
It's crazy when you realize that men are human.
Oh my God, yes. It's like when you realize that your parents are just people.
Right, you're just like, holy shit, okay. Like, you have trust issues too.
Yes, what do you mean?
You go through the same thing. We're all doing this to each other.
Like with women, you know, we try to act like we hate our feelings and everything because men are only given two feelings, happiness and anger.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So like they're not told that they can be sad. They're not told they can be vulnerable. So when they are and that like cracks open, you're kind of like, ooh, it's like a holy grail in a weird way. Right,
like this is, oh, I love when you just crack a man.
You can also just open them up, you know. You don't have to like force them. There's, you don't have to crack them like an egg. They can just be a door. But I know what I mean. You're just like, ooh, what is in here?
No, I love it. I love when guys open up about like, you know, my mental health and my trauma, the way that I was raised. I'm like, yes, let's talk about this.
Yes, because I also realized that a lot of like, I've realized that a lot of my guy friends are like, no woman likes sensitive men. That's not true. We do.
I'm honestly debating on dating a Cancer because
I'd love it.
Because I mean, I'm like, I've dated. I just feel like I need a dude who's like hella sensitive. So I'm gonna go for a Cancer.
Yeah. I mean, as someone who's with a Cancer, I love it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, he's Cancer. I love it. It's great. It's amazing. But like, he's not like, the other thing is that it's not that I feel like they don't understand what we mean by sensitive. We just need consideration.
We need empathy.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I want, like, I want to be with someone who cares about people.
Yeah.
Who cares about the world. Like, who just, the environment, social justice.
Yes. Like, if you can't talk about race with me, then sorry, I can't be with you, you know? But, like, there's, like, notions and ideas that you don't have to be angry and happy with me. You can have more emotions. Society has told you that these are the only acceptable ones.
Yeah, when you meet a man who just knows how to open that shit up to you and is not ashamed of that. Ooh.
And it's great. And I feel like that's something that
I'm getting
like,
horny just thinking about it.
Ooh, I will roll out. But like, you know, it takes a while to get there. But in long distance relationships, you have to start off that like very quickly. So like the things we would normal relationships probably don't talk about until like maybe like 9 months in, maybe a year, we were talking about at the beginning. Also because I feel like we had both. Because
you really got to like think like, okay, are we really going to do this long distance? Like you got to really like figure out early on. You're not going to just go with the flow. Like if you're going to be long distance. And that was the thing with me and Morgan. I think that sometimes we had this go with the flow mentality, which just obviously it's not it. Cause we got to know if we're really doing this long distance shit, we got to have a plan.
Yes. You have to have a foundation.
You have to have a foundation. We didn't have that shit. You need to have a foundation. Like you need to like how you were saying, fly out to each other every month, make sure that you see each other, like make
there's a
that,
schedule.
Yeah. A schedule, a priority, or even just like the, you know, the plan to eventually live in the same city together. Like you have to see the future or else it's just, why are you doing this?
See, and that's like something that me and him have been talking about where we're like, we could see us doing this for a while only because we're in this
because
very...
it's like both cities are home to you though. Not everyone has that like that like opportunity. Like sometimes people are like, oh, like for instance, like fucking Alabama, that's not home for me. What am I going to Alabama for all the time, you know? Besides him, you know what I mean? So like for you guys it
works. And he has been like, I will never move back to LA, which I understand. Honestly, I'm like, okay, LA is not your home, but I also know that LA is not my permanent home. Like part of me has always wanted to live in another country because like I, you know, my dad is Irish and I do have an Irish passport and I'm like, how come I've never taken advantage of that? And also like in the current climate of the world and like whatever fucking happens in November, like maybe I don't want to live in America anymore. Like, you know, like and he's down for that. But we've also talked about like, you know, we have our own, like we're learning our own things about in relationship, like talking about kids, talking about marriage, talking about living together. Where, you know,
and at least you guys want the same thing where you're like, I'm not really sure about kids, right?
Yeah. Like, we're also not really sure about like moving in with each other either. You know what I mean? Like I he's kind of like, you don't have to move back to Seattle. Like you don't have to right now.
Okay. So you guys are like, you're quick, but you're not really quick. You were quick emotionally.
We're very quick emotionally.
But everything else when it comes to moving in together, because like me and Morgan were like, hey, when things are settled over there, let's move in together.
Wow.
Like, we were going to move in together. Like we talked about having kids.
Oh, See that? Oh, nah. We did, and then we were just like, "That's it. Okay, neither of us have an answer."
But you know, it's the Charlotte in me that's like, I want to have a family. Yes. I want to have kids. You know?
No, I get that.
Like, I want to like build. You know, so I thought.
Okay, but with Sex and the City, my whole thing is that I still want my Carrie apartment. You know what I mean?
Right. And that is.
That is what it is, you know? And same thing with him. Like, that's the other thing that we, like, also realize is that, like, he has never lived with a partner. And he's like, I don't know what that's going to look like. You know what I mean? Because he's never done it before. I've done it before, and it was really bad. So I'm also like, I need to live in a house that's, like, 2 bedrooms or, like, 3 bedrooms.
I mean, I definitely want to eventually buy my own house.
Yes. I mean, that's my other thing.
Like, it just from, like...
From all of it. But in a long distance relationship, you have to start with, if I did like a press kit for someone, it would have to be, start with emotions first, right? Yeah. Start with the vulnerable first. I know. If this was a press kit and I was teaching a TED talk on long distance relationships, the relationships you're longing for, this is, I just made that. Am I Oprah?
You're okay. Oprah.
You have to start with the emotional stuff and vulnerable stuff very quick, very fast at the very beginning. Insecurities, you know, what is this, what is that, and then
and establish
you,
that shit
and establish that shit right off the bat. Then
don't,
you
don't
kind
do what
of,
I did
no you have to establish it, because there are going to be people in your life that are like, oh, this isn't real, because you're not doing what the norm is. Because
we were at first like, oh, maybe we won't do long distance, really. We were just denying ourselves, and we're like, we're not gonna do it. And then when we did it, we're like still talking every day, we're like, should we do this? I guess we'll do this. It just was like very go with the flow. It wasn't like,
right,
this is what we're doing.
And I understand like why sometimes labels, people get irritated by them, but they are helpful.
They
especially
are.
If you're 100%. Like, if you are going over the whole factor of like, do we do this? It's like, no, that's your answer right there. If you are keep coming back from like, do we do this? Yes. You do this. You have to have the establishment, because there's a security in that. You know what I mean?
So damn, you have right, because
all the emotional stuff, all
no,
the
I go back to
things.
That episode, but no.
And then the next thing is communication. Communication is key. Mm. Like, we, you know, we don't text each other every morning, but we do make sure to like either like leave a voicemail or call each other at night. We text throughout the day, but like, you know, if I have like literally I feel like I had like 5 Zoom calls in like one day, and I like missed a call, but then I had a voicemail from him. So like communication is really key. We schedule, like, I'll order him food in Seattle. He'll order me food in Seattle.
Wait, that's so sweet.
Yeah, and then we'll have, like, Skype dinner together.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, gross. Zoom dinner. We've watched movies together. Like, we were watching, like, when Watchmen was, like, big, we would watch Watchmen together.
That is hilarious. I remember you used to always say this even before you met him. You'd always be like, I'm in a long-distance relationship with my feelings. And that's literally what you're in.
I know, I am.
You're like, you manifested that.
In a weird way, I have. And I, like, found the right person to do it with, too. Because that's the other thing. Is that we, you know, we did the excuse of I need to focus on my career, and then like this is the best way to for both of us to focus on our careers, because like he's really kind enough to be like, I'm never gonna ask you to sacrifice what you want for me. And that was like, at first
that's
I was
dope.
Like, that's dope and amazing. And then I was like, wait, do I have to promise the same thing? Yes, I do.
Right.
And it was a weird thing to let go.
Being in a relationship actually makes your career even better. I feel like if you have the right partner who could really build you up.
I know a bunch of artists that would disagree with you.
There's a bunch. I know this is, but like, but
there's a bunch of artists that are like, heartbreak is how I write my album.
Well, yes,
you know what I mean?
Too. Yeah. I mean, because I'm the same way. Heartbreak helps me write my album. No.
But well, also, you don't need to live through agony all the time to make great art.
Exactly. Like, there's other ways to do it. It can't just only be heartbreak. But, you know, I think if you find the right partner, you know, and really, because it's like, it's like, okay, you have romance, but also it's like a business.
It is.
So it's like finding a business partner, you know, to do life with. Like, if you could find, like, I just feel like you could accomplish so much. I don't know, that's my opinion.
No, I completely agree. And it also has to do with this, like, element of making sure that you are constantly always on the same page. Like, you readjust and come back. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you're like, we're good. Okay, fine. And then you just keep it pushing.
Right.
You don't want to overdo that, though, because if you find yourself talking about your relationship and not like outside stuff, then all of a sudden you're realizing, like, who am I trying to convince? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're constantly talking about, like, talk about the first time we met, like, talk about our first date, like, why did you fall in love with me? Why did you like me? And that's like your common ground, then you're not actually in a relationship. You're just constantly trying
I feel
to-
attacked.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons and Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out the Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find the Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Okay, to be fair, though, I am someone who had to learn that, though.
Because I would always be like, do you remember when we popped Molly's at the Virgil? Like, do you remember when we did this?
That's okay, though. Like, if you're reminiscing about, like, things you did together, like, that's okay. You do that with your friends. You know what I mean? But I'm talking about if you're trying to think about...
Try to ways to validate, like, if they still like you. Oh, okay.
Or if you're talking about the early days again, like, you're trying to recreate the honeymoon phase.
Right.
By being like, tell me how much you love me. Like, I don't do that.
I was just like, you remember when we did this? That was so fun.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. I mean, there's a lot of times where he'll just, like, look at me and tell me a funny story. I'm like, oh, my God, I totally forgot that happened to us. Like, before quarantine, we like went to Vancouver, and he's like, "Do you remember when we were stuck at the border for 4 hours?" And I was like, "No, I like blocked that out of my memory because it was so bad." But it was also really funny because he was like so tired and exhausted, and was like joking with me the whole time. But communication is key in those relationships, and also what we're kind of doing right now is you have to redefine milestones, and that's like an important thing that we're like trying to figure out because the kids thing, we're kind of like, "Well, we don't know how we feel about that." The marriage thing has come up, and that's one where we're like, long distance marriage, like, we don't know what that looks like. That's not like a thing that there's no like thing in society that I can point to and be like, oh, it looks like that. But then there's also this idea notion where like, I thought for the longest time that I wanted to get married. And recently I've been like, oh my God, I don't. But I don't know if it's society telling me that, or that's my own commitment issues or my own conclusion. But he's like, yeah, no, it's okay if I don't get married. And I'm like, and then of course I'm like, no, fight for this. And I'm like, but do I actually want to get married? Like, it's a constant thing I'm trying to figure out right now. So for him and I, it's like, if we don't get married, what does the next milestone look like? Do we move in together? Do we buy a house? Do we get a joint bank account? So like, we have to redefine
what it is. Do you think maybe you'll just know once life just happens and it, you know, like, I just feel like sometimes life just kind of shifts. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you're kind of like, okay, what do we do from here? Like, do we want to continue to do this? Should we do this? Are we okay with doing that? You know?
There's a book that my friend recommended me to read called The New I Do, which is all about like breaking down. Usually I don't really like self-help books, but this one's like interesting because it's just about like, why are we so obsessed with marriage? You know what I mean? Like people used to get married for land and to stop wars. We don't do that anymore. You know what I mean?
And I've been thinking about that too, where I'm like,
yeah, it's a weird thing. Yeah. And I think it's like, I think I also have my own weird thing about marriage because my parents have been together for 36 years, almost 37 years, and I know what marriage looks like, and it's sometimes very hard to look at because it's a lot of fucking like, ooh, you're working it's through some
lot
hard
of, a lot
stuff.
Of fight to
a
do.
Lot of fight.
And my parents are divorced, so I've seen.
And a lot of like to keep it together, what happens. So, you know, it's just like me trying to figure it out, but like, and I'm like slowly realizing, I'm like, God, society's told me like that's what you do, and I'm like, but do I actually want to do that?
And it's okay if you don't.
And it's okay, and you're right. Like maybe down the line, I'm like, yeah, like I would love to get married, but then also part of me is like, I don't want that money. I just want a house. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if someone's like marriage or house, I'd be like, spend all that wedding money on a house.
Like, I'm okay with having like a life partner for the rest of my life, but like to have. I don't know. Like I'm also not a girl that's like, I can't wait for my wedding. Like I'm the girl that's like, I can't wait to be a mother.
Yeah.
And I say it all the time. We all know that. But I've never been like, I can't wait till my wedding day. Like I've even said, like, if I ever have a wedding, like I'm definitely not gonna have a court. Like I'm not gonna have like a bunch of bridesmaids. Yeah. Like I'm just gonna have like probably a very if it does happen, like just a very like small wedding, but then have a big party with like a buffet of Filipino food.
I mean, oh, lumpia?
Yeah.
Yes. Or you can hear me there a heartbeat with my big purse getting all that. I'm just
like if it does happen, but at the same time, I'm not like, please.
Yeah.
You know?
There's my sister and my best friend. Those are two people that I've actually like saved, like put money aside in a bank account because I know from them, I'm going to get a text at like 3 a.m. being like, hey, I'm about to get married. You have to fly to like whatever country. You know what I mean? Like, I just know that like Claire and my best
friend.
Yes. I know that Claire and Jackie are going to elope. Like those are just like two people in my life that
shout
I know.
Shout out to Claire and Jackie.
I love the midges. Like, but I just, those are two women that I know that no matter what, I'm going, like, that's what's going to happen. They're going to be like, I got married. I'm like, okay. And I kind of like that. But I also feel like, I also, in a weird way, like, Anthony and I, we've just made like a commitment where we're just like, let's see where this goes. Now, the hard thing for me though is I always think about the future, like constantly, almost too much, where I'm like, are you going to be here in 5 years? And he's 5 years. And he's like, I don't know. I would like to be, but I put so much stress on the future.
Dude, I mean,
I give myself anxiety.
I feel that.
It's just scary. You know what I mean?
It is scary because it's like, for me, like I'm always just scared, like they'll leave.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, are you really going to stay for 5 years? Are you really going to stay for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like the thing is I know he's capable of doing it. Like, I know he's capable of staying for 5 years. I know that.
Right.
But part, like, that little part of me is like, I don't like the other option.
Right.
You know, it's you or nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And we both agree that because of where this relationship is, like, and how we met.
So maybe marriage is a good thing. So you could have that commitment that says he's going to be there.
But then I'm also like, but isn't marriage sometimes, like, a false commitment? Because if you're married to someone, then you're like, or you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I feel like it sometimes causes more problems with that image. And like, oh, we have to stay together because we're married versus like, no, I'm staying together because I love you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if you have an argument with a partner that you've been with for 10 years and they choose you, then it's like, oh, you chose me because you chose me. But if you have an issue with a partner that you've been married to for 10 years and they're just like, I'm only staying with you because we're married. Like, oh, that.
I get that.
That just hit my heart. Oh, I get that. Fuck, that just hurt my heart. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm, like, processing right. And thinking about. But I'm also not trying to get married in the next, like, 2-3 years. Like, right. That's another thing.
Commitment's hard. I get that because it's like, okay, you could get married, but you could still cheat on me. You could still divorce me. You could still leave. Yeah. So it's like how – and it's also like if we divorce, like, it's going to be messier. Like, you know what I mean? Having to deal with like splitting and I've seen my parents go through divorce and it wasn't totally messy. It just was like, it was just, of course it's a breakup. It's annoying. It's traumatizing as like a kid, you know?
Absolutely.
So yeah. So there is that fear of just like, how committed can you really be in a marriage? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, we were talking about it at that red table, you know what I mean? With Will and Jada.
Right. Where like, look at that.
You look at that and you're just kind of like, obviously there's other issues that are happening in that relationship to begin with, but you kind of look at that and you're kind of like, okay, but would you break up though if you weren't married?
Right. That's what, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but it's like, oh, but then you made that commitment. So you kind of have to stick together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Like,
there's going to be, you know, just things in life that just throw your way, but you don't know if
someone could be attracted to somebody like get into an entanglement, like, you just fall out of love.
People change, people grow. And that's like scary. But like the one thing I know that I can guarantee is like, I'm never going to cheat. I can't. It's just like, I know people are like, what, you can't? No, I can guarantee that because that's just the type of person I am. Same. I know that I'm never going to murder anyone on purpose, maybe in self-defense, but I'm never going to murder anyone on purpose. Right. And I know that I'm never going to cheat on Anthony. I just know that about myself because that's who I am. But I don't know what other things life might throw at me that might test our relationship.
Right.
But that's when relationships become stronger. You know what I mean? Like, someone can't be a ride or die until you actually get to that, like, prefaces where it's like, what do we do?
Right.
Kind of like the last episode where we were talking about, like, our friendship got closer because of this thing that happened.
Right. That, like, brought us together because it was,
and it tested us, you know? And so then it's like, what, and those happen in every relationship with family when there's like a death or like when something is stressed or whatever it is. So those happen whether or not we like it. And I think that's also taps into, and I feel like you're the same way, sometimes the control issue because you don't have any control on life in that sense. But you gotta let, I'm giving myself this advice when I say it, you just gotta let go of it.
Right.
You know, that like you can't hold on to it or you actually suffocate it.
Right. Like, I feel like I'm not opposed to getting married. I'm okay with doing that later.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like if me and my partner have kids before and we get a house and maybe later on we could, you know, get married. And I've also thought about like, what if I want the same last name as my kids?
Yeah.
That's something that I've thought about too. Is like, am I going to have a different last name? I don't know. It's
and taxes. That's right. Another thing. Exactly. Where it's like, what does it mean? Like when right. we share it's money, like, we don't share money.
Right. So it's something I'm still kind of figuring out. I'm just telling myself like, well, first let's just find a man that you like.
Yeah.
And just go from there. Cause I think maybe if you just find the right person, or maybe you hit a certain time in your life, that's when you realize, okay, I'm ready for this.
Yeah.
You know, I just think.
That makes sense and that works. I mean, like, one of the things, so my friend Lauren, she has friends that one of them proposed, and the girl was like, you know what, let's have kids first, raise them until they're 5 and 6, and if you're still around, then sure, I'll marry you. And I heard that, and I was like, that's kind of, I like that. Like, I was like, I kind of like that.
That's kind of like how I envision what my life would be like, too.
Yeah, in a weird way. And it's, you know, there's some people that are probably listening to this that are like, what? That's what? You know, sex but before marriage.
Marriage is,
it's hard.
It's hard. You know? And I'm already struggling on how to get through a relationship. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not good at relationships. So the thought of, like, being with someone forever, I feel like I could be with someone forever. I don't know if someone could be with me forever.
Girl, that's always on my mind. That's like, always on my mind, constantly.
Yeah, like I will stick through it all.
Yeah.
I just don't know if someone could deal with me because they always left me. I've never broken someone's heart.
Mm.
I've always had my heart broken. So guys have always dumped me. Guys have always, mm-hmm. I mean, there's been situations where like, okay, I had one date and I decided not to text them back. Like that, cause I'm someone who knows right away.
Right.
So
you do.
Yeah. So if I like you and I'm pursuing, like we're doing this, like I'm not going to leave.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm
here.
Loyal.
You know?
Loyal as fuck. Right. Loyal ass hoes.
And like, even if I see the ugly side of you,
yes.
If you've gained weight, if you've lost weight, like yeah. anything, like I will like stick by this person.
I'm the same way.
Like, yeah.
I'm just realizing that I don't know if I necessarily need.
I don't know if it's healthy, but.
And saying. Some of your situations, no.
No.
But you'll know when it's unhealthy. Right, and for right. both partners, I always think about like, so. Sex and the City, about how, like, when Big was like, it's weird that you still call me your boyfriend, you know, because they're, like, older and stuff. But I always thought it would be really funny if I just, like, introduced Anthony to people, like, if we're in our 60s and we never get married, I'm going to be like, this is my ride or die. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, that's your new title. You're not my boyfriend
it's
or
like
my man
friend. Like a millennial,
friend.
Like, grandparent.
Yes, I'm like, this a millennial is my as a ride or die, yeah. You know? And, then, like, but that's, like, what it is, though, in a way, is that you are like your friends. The reason why we hold relationships so dear to our heart is because we're choosing this person. And I you know, have made that decision with Anthony, and I tell him that, like, literally I told him at the very beginning of our relationship when we were finally saying I love you to each other, is that every morning I wake up, I choose you. And if there's ever a moment you, and he's like, every morning I wake up, I choose you. And if there's ever a moment where we question that or falter that, you have to tell that person. It's so painful and so hard,
right?
But you have to.
And I don't fall out of love like that.
I don't either.
I'm not like, there's some bitches out there who do.
There's some people out there
who just like, I don't feel anything. I'm like, how?
I know, it's fascinating.
Like, it's crazy. I love so hard. We love
I know,
so
we
hard.
Love so, I love loud. I love loud and I, you know, I, and it's because.
That's literally the perfect description of how you love. I love loud.
I love loud. Like, I do. I love loud and I love a neon. And it's like, sometimes it's really overwhelming and hard to process. But like, I realize that I chose the wrong people. And like with Anthony deserves nothing but an amazing partner. Like that's something I learned from him from the jump is this dude is so dope. He's amazing. I love him. He's great. He's smart. He's kind. He's funny. And he's an amazing human being, and aww. He deserves nothing. I'm sorry. He deserves a great partner, and he hasn't had a great partner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's had, like, you know, decent girls. Like, you know, that sounds like shade to his ex, but like they're obviously exes for a reason.
Right.
But he deserves an amazing partner. And I just,
that's
like,
you.
Thank you. And I want to continue and be that.
Right.
So, and vice versa. You know, he realizes that. Like, he'll text me literally. He texted me this morning and was like, you're just a dope ass girlfriend. And I was like, aww. Fuck yeah. And that's all it took. You know what I mean? But
meanwhile, my mind's like, don't call me anymore.
Well, fuck that guy. Honestly.
I'm just kidding. I'm
sorry. Oh, whatever. Anyways.
I was just being a joke.
But they're long distance are possible. And I feel like, and you know, this is really timely because with COVID and the pandemic, there are more people in long distance relationships. And that's like what I was approaching on in the article that I was working on, is like, what does that look like? And what does that mean? And it is possible. It just takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of patience. You know?
Patience, yeah.
And I'm all about the work. I'm not really that patient, but I'm learning.
Working on it. We're all working on something.
Yeah. I'm working on that and a tan. Just kidding. I can't tan. I can't tan to save my life. I literally was like, I went out of my house and I was like hanging up my like laundry to dry and I was like, I could feel my skin burning and I was like, I have to do this in the shade. I am getting a sunburn right now. I'm too pale. Okay, I'm so okay. Pale.
I know. I love when I tweeted like, I'm getting pale. And
you're like, I was like, are you pale?
Like, are you what?
I'm sorry. Are you pale? Are you the color of unbaked pie crust? Do your legs look like two freshly cracked glow sticks? Do you look like you could be Casper's?
Freshly cracked glow sticks.
My legs look like two freshly cracked glow sticks. I blind people. You can use my belly as a white balance. Oh, you know? My God. Is your cousin Casper?
Hold it up.
You know? Do you use a whiteout as your foundation?
I love that you're just roasting yourself right now.
Literally, my father is Irish and my mother's Irish Norwegian. Could you get any whiter? Honestly, like the two whitest complexions. And people are like, Rose, you can tan. No, I can't, bitch. There are some people who cannot tan, okay? And that's me. My freckles connect.
What happens
and that's
when
it.
You like, are laying out in the sun?
For I sunburn. I'm a chicken. Sorry, that was.
Sorry, I need to lower it. Like, I'm literally going deaf.
I'm so sorry. It's I love loud. I love loud.
You
I
love
burn.
Loud.
I'm a chicken. I turn it. I'm a chicken. I roast like a chicken. I burn. There's no tan. No, there's no tan.
There's just no melanin.
There's just, you see these? Like these, I'm pointing to my freckles and then flip my arm over. Where are they? they're disappeared. They're gone. So my freckles connect and then that's how I get a tan. But I cannot. There are some human beings that just cannot tan. Sure, spray tan, whatever. I think it looks ridiculous on me. I love my pale skin. Love it.
It's beautiful.
And it's soft.
Oh.
You felt me before?
We shouldn't touch each other. Well, you are soft.
I know. I'm very soft. That's 15 years
of... You felt me before.
I know. This 15 years of eczema right there, man. Soft
skin. I have eczema too.
Look how bad it's gotten.
Oh my God.
The backs of my hands.
Actually, my hands are better, but I was like, I was toe up. Yeah. But anyways.
It's stress. I think it's stress and diet, but it's mostly stress because of COVID. Yeah. Like literally it comes up and I'm like...
My hands were so bad. It definitely cleared up. You know what works? Apple cider vinegar and hot water.
Okay, I've been doing. I do it. I can do it on the backs of my hands. I can't do it on the backs of my knees though, because it's so sweaty back
but
there.
But helps on backs with the of my hands. Yeah, with the little really blisters. Helps. You ever get
yes,
those little blisters?
Little, oh God, they're bad. But yeah, and anyway. Then you know I get them on my eyes sometimes. But yes, no, I can't tan. I just have pale skin. And
it's okay.
It's fine. Okay. Someone loves this pale skin. But I love my pale skin. I've like learned to love it. Finding a foundation is extremely hard, but like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine. But no, I just, I get freckles and that's.
But it's okay. You're beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, any last words? Because I'm running out of time.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, my God.
No, it's okay. I'm sure people will love to hear you talk until like you just. Out of things
I
to talk about.
I always like, I feel
we should just do like a 3-hour like bonus episode of just you talking. or maybe you could just take over the show.
No,
like,
no, this is your show.
I know, like no, but like, but you know, like, well, fuck Ellen, but like, remember Ellen would have like guest, like,
a guest host?
Yeah, like,
I feel like there should be an episode where we bring in a third person and then it's just like,
I think you, me, and Joff ready to do that.
Oh, yes. That's what the people have been asking for.
They've been asking for that.
We have. Also, like, that's.
I told Joffa that I was coming here, and she was, like, pissed and wanted to come and smoke and, like, hang out.
Oh, my God. I would have loved her to have been here in
the
Peanut Gallery.
I know, but I was like, this is me and Rose's time. We just come on next.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I think Peanut Gallery is not acceptable to say. No, I just looked that what up. Ah, damn it. It's a very, like racist phrase. Damn it. I literally
I'll
just read
out.
This. I know, take that out. I would have loved to have Jaffers in the audience. Well, I'm reading like, you know, like every well-intentioned white person. I'm reading a lot of books right now. And so maybe that's my sign off. Okay, so I'm going to tell you like the like three books I've read that I absolutely loved recently. Mm-hmm. How to Be Anti-Racist. That's just a great book in general.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Everyone should read it. The Vanishing Half, which I just finished.
I just started that.
Girl.
I'm in the first chapter. I still have to keep going. I've been really depressed.
I'm
so I haven't been able to read it, but I have it. Yeah.
I am so upset. It's the best book I've read in the last 5 years.
Holy shit.
I love that book.
Okay, I'll
it's
get
like,
on it.
It's Toni Morrison structure meets like Zora Neale Hurston's like poetry. Like it's just very like interesting woven story and that I'm just obsessed with.
Okay, okay. I think I'll get on it since I've been crying too much. I need to keep myself busy.
And then a weird departure of, I've been reading The Whites by Richard, I forget his last name, but he used to write for The Wire and he wrote for the TV show The Night Of. And it's like this like cop story that is nothing like The Vanishing Half. It's like a huge departure. It's like there's a lot of dead bodies and everything. And I'm like, wow, this is strange.
Yeah. But those are, I love that you're books. Giving book recommendations.
I will give book recommendations and movie recommendations for days.
Yeah.
I got you, fam.
Anyways, do you want to plug yourself?
Yeah, you can find me at rose_EddaStone or the new blog on theblock.com. Boop, boop, boop. That's all social media.
And then follow me, Stephanie Megan, or go to brocotherapy.com. All that shit is there.
And I heard there might be new merch.
New merch? That's what I'm wearing. I'm even like, yeah, I'm just working on it. Due to COVID, it's kind of taking, you know, but new merch is coming.
New merch coming soon. For more details, check out BrokeGirlTherapy.com because therapy is too expensive.
That was so good.
$3.90. I'm going to send that to my agents and be like, get me a job just off of that clip. I just want to
do the laugh in. Right after.
I know, my fucking jammed AK-47 laugh. Some kid on TikTok is going to make fun of it.
I know. Okay, all right. Bye. Broke girl therapy. 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 Broke girl therapy.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.